Good morning and welcome, ladies and gents, boys and girls, to the Esports Central podcast, episode number 70. My name is Prophecy, and I'll be joined today by GK. Glenn, how are you doing, sir?
I am good. I love that you said good morning. Like, that's, like, great. You, like, assuming our listeners will be, you know, clocking in straight away before work starts. I love that. That was great.
Well, I mean, that is the belief we have. In likelihood, they're probably listening to it at some point on a Thursday, maybe a Friday. Hell, even maybe a couple of months later. Who knows?
I mean, also, it is like December time, so it is the festive season already.
That also means that, like, people are probably sitting at work doing a whole bunch of nothing for long hours just to try and get through the day, right?
Okay, I feel attacked, so I don't want to actually comment on that at all. But yes, that is how we do December in South Africa.
I suppose. I mean, like, we obviously don't run on, like, the whole Northern Hemisphere. What is it? It's like October to July or October to September type thing, where it's like, I don't know why they have their school period like that, because they have like a week long holiday for Christmas, yeah. Which is like, it's alien to me, but
no, it's, I mean, and also it's like, it happens like straight after like Thanksgiving,
yeah.
So you have like a week of Thanksgiving, you go back to like work or like varsity or whatever, and then you have like a week of Christmas, and then I'm like, yeah, it's, yeah, I would not enjoy that at all. It's so weird.
It's just odd. I mean, I suppose if we grew up in that, it'd make a bit more sense, but we don't, so it's just,
yeah, screw it. We're more superior.
So strange.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very strange. Either way, I mean, we've got, I wouldn't say a ton of news coming out at the moment. Obviously, South Africa is largely shut down for for the end of the year, but
yeah.
Esports, it continues. Not as busy for the most part with, I think it's what LCS has been, LCS has done for the year.
Yeah.
Overwatch obviously completed its run for the year. So most of the big ticket events, Dota also in that vague stage where teams just sort of don't attend events. I know Camille will probably get upset with us, but we've had like, what is it? I think we've had two majors. No, is it one? No, it's one major. It's one major.
Yeah,
one
by, think, yeah.
Won by the guys out of Southeast Asia, so congrats to them. But I mean, I think we wanted to take it a little bit lighter this week, just talk about like some general opinions in the community and all the rest. And I mean, one thing that you brought up was the fact that for some reason, League of Legends is now hating on Travis Gafford.
I don't know
why you'd hate on Travis. Like, sure, he might not be everybody's cup of tea, but he's hardly the most controversial figure or the most like polarizing figure you could find.
But like, I think that's actually the point. Like, I always think about it. Like, look, personally, I don't enjoy his content. I find it very fluffy. But I also understand that, like, I'm like the person who wants like esports heavy content, like very in-depth, insightful, like, you know, like Thorin, for example, that like is closer to what I want. So I know I'm not the target audience. So that's why I'm like, I get his place, like his role in the scene. But for a lot of people, because he's so like not controversial, obviously the subreddit has to go like, well, we need to create drama around this person because they've done like nothing bad like the whole year. So basically someone like put together like a thread, a post on the LOL subreddit saying Travis Gafford doesn't know how to interview. In brackets, they said, don't kill me. Essentially, what they were saying was based on the interview with Path. So obviously, we know we've spoken about it before, how TSM had like a terrible season. And also last season as well was really bad. They basically rebuilt the entire roster. I mean, obviously, Bjerg's still there in mid lane, and they have Broken Blade still staying there in top. But the jungler, they got Darduk, which is obviously a very interesting sort of interesting call. And then they have obviously a new bot lane as well. But I mean, that's not really the point of it. Basically, the guy was saying that Travis will interview people, but he doesn't actually provide follow-up questions. He doesn't challenge, whatever the interviewee is saying. And he basically just stands there and listens. And he basically got to where he is because he got into the scene when it was, you know, very young, very early on, and he had that whole relationship with Doublelift. For those that don't know, essentially he housed Doublelift when Doublelift got kicked out from his home. And it's like a very interesting point, because I mean, you look at sort of the comments, and obviously a lot of people are like, oh yeah, no, Travis is horrible, ugh, I don't like him, his content's terrible, he's so trash.
Let's just point out, this thing has a gold and two silver upvotes.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
so,
it's
so like, people have legitimately paid money for this upvote.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, because a lot of people are saying it's not like, it's not journalism, it's not an interview, like, you know, stop pretending, Travis is so fake, essentially. And why I'm bringing this up is it's a very interesting point about people that get into the scene very early on and how people perceive them because of that, right? Like, Travis kind of was there early, and I mean, massive credit to that, right? He looked at a scene, he built his place in it, and he sustained that. I feel like people sort of underestimate how hard it is to sustain yourself and stay relevant, you know, throughout the years and reinvent yourself, make sure your content is fresh, keep the relationships going. But for some people, they feel Travis got there because he just was there early and he got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, it's got nothing to do with the fact that he's put out like hundreds of hours of content on his Hotline League that he runs.
Hotline League. Yeah, I mean, one of the many things he does.
Hundreds of interviews over the years. Nah, it's because he did some interviews with some Double Lift, Double Lift interviews a few years back. Like, are you for real?
Yeah.
No, I just don't understand why people. Like, what has this guy done to get people getting annoyed? Like, do they expect every interview to be super in-depth with, like, a two-hour back and forth where you challenge every single thing?
Yeah.
Do you think, that he's never been that person? So why all of a sudden do people now get mad upset that he's not doing that?
Yeah. And then also to your point, right, there's different kinds of content. Like, there's Thorin who does the in-depth, two-hour, massively in-depth interview, a lot of research before, and really insightful. But again, who gets the most upvotes, across the subreddits and the most views? Oh, it's normally Travis's stuff.
Thorin is persona non grata on that subreddit almost at times.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll hate him. They'll be like, he doesn't do anything good for us. He does nothing. But, here's Travis who does a different style of interview. Mm-hmm. And now they're raging at him, basically, because he's not doing the Thorin style.
Yeah.
What?
And I mean, and that's the thing about esports. Like, that's the thing we talk about. And then you look at Richard Lewis, again, someone that obviously, again, started off very early on in the scene. I mean, he's one of the OGs when you look at it globally. I mean, he was there very, very early on. And he has broken some of the biggest stories across different genres of, of games. CSGO, obviously, primarily. But, I mean, League, he was doing massive stories before he got banned on the subreddit, or his content and himself as well. Yeah. But, again, people look at Richard and go, oh, I hate Richard. He's such a bad guy. Oh, my gosh, worst person. But they'll read his content when he's the guy that's breaking massive stories.
And then they'll rage, like, oh, why aren't there people that are, like, willing to break stories about how X, Y, and Z has done something screwed up? And, it's like, we really need somebody to call them out. You do realize that you're the same person that in 5 minutes is going to turn around and say that Richard Lewis is a terrible human being, right?
Absolutely. And this is the problem. This is the problem with esports and content. And I think it's been one of those conversations that everyone's had over the years. Like, esports content is so weird because it basically lives and dies by the subreddits of the different games, right? Because, like, that's where everyone sort of gets their news from. That's what gets you that sort of, the profile and the exposure. So if you are, turn against, the community turns against you, and in the case of, Richard Lewis, where the mods decide they have an issue with you for whatever reason it is, I mean, we're not going to get into it. I don't agree with them at all. But still, and they ban you. I mean, that's a massive amount of views, which equals revenue that you lose. So for Travis to get like a thread like this, like, again, gets gilded, has massive conversation around it, that affects his actual income, like his revenue. And then when you want to approach people like ESPN that are sort of, dipping their toes into esports, content, if they see a thread like this, they're going to go, I don't know if we want to kind of work with you.
I mean, so you hope not. You hope that it would look past that kind of thing, but it doesn't make any difference. Like, why is this even up? But, like, it's just seeing stuff like this is just, like, utterly brainless to me, because, like, I guarantee you 75% of these people will be in love with Travis next week when he releases a different interview.
Yeah, and his stuff gets upvoted. Like, his content always gets upvoted. So, and I know everyone's going to go, oh, but Reddit's a bunch of different, different minds, and, we're not all the same. But
they're
sheep.
Let's be real. Like, one person will complain, and then everybody who has, like, a minor quibble with, like, something he did 2 years ago will be like, fuck that guy, and just, like, upvote the stupid thing.
No, 100%. And, like, I guess at the end of the day, it just creating content for esports is, like, exhausting. Like, I think, and we've spoken about it on this podcast before. I mean, I know, like, Axe has spoken about, you know, he'll do, like, player interviews because everyone's asking about, you know, getting more narratives in the scene, but, like, no one will watch that. But then, you know, he'll have, like, a, you know, an episode on, you know, talking about, like, some a tournament that's happened and his thoughts on that, and that gets massive reach. So it's kind of like there's a, you know, a disconnect between what people want and, like, what they actually engage with.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's esports. It's exhausting trying to figure out, you know, what people want.
It is unfortunate, but, like, this is the kind of thing that I think everybody deals with. It's just, like, I don't even, like, what has Travis Gafford done to, like, upset this person? Like, he's one of the most, like, I mean, I'll complain about Travis because I think he's, like, milquetoast, but, like, that doesn't mean that he's a bad person. It doesn't mean he makes bad content and doesn't know how to interview. I think he's perfectly fine. He's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't mean that I think he's bad at anything.
It's off season, Croc. It's off season. We have to find
people just need something to be upset about.
That's exactly it. It's off season, man. That's exactly. Yeah.
I genuinely can't believe that this has got 3.6k upvotes.
I mean, yeah, that's the subreddit for you when there's nothing to watch. So, yeah.
Like, this is interviewing 101. This is speaking 101. Like, I'm not certain you know what you're talking about, sir. Like, not everybody is gonna, like, sit there and challenge questions. You're like, have you ever seen, like, a political interview where, like, they literally just interviewing the candidate for, you know, to start off a conversation? Like, those are not, they're not gonna sit there and challenge those interviewees.
But also, to your point, everyone has a specific role to play in the type of content they do, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
yes, Travis is a safe interview. Like, you know, if you're, like, a team and, you know, especially someone like TSM, they've had a rough year in the last, well, the last rough 2 years, but let's just talk about last year, right? Or the last year. It's been rough. Of course, they're going to find Travis. They know it'll be safe. They'll have the, you know, the questions audited or whatever, potentially. Yeah. It is a safe bet, absolutely. But you can't get upset for a guy who goes, that's my role. I am here to do easy content.
He's not here to do a hard-hitting interview. Exactly. He's not there to, like, catch people out or, like, grill a person. Like, that's legit not what he does. He's never done that, so why is it a problem now?
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, yeah, that's agreed. 100%.
It's just so stupid. But anyway, I mean, like, people are free to complain, but just pick something good to complain about. Like, genuinely, like,
The League of Legends won, like, client, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, Travis has been there, what, 8 years?
Oh, yeah, I know. He's been there since the start.
I know Doublelift debuted in Season 2, but Travis has been around a little bit longer than that. So it's like, I mean, again, like, why are you hating the guy now, 7 years into his career?
And he hasn't really changed. I mean, obviously, he's, like, you know, kept
like,
it
he's
fresh.
Gotten, but... He's gotten better at what he's done, and he's, like, probably he's upgraded what he's done, but it's like... He's not going to change the style drastically.
But I do love his comment. So he did actually respond on the, you know, to the thread. He basically, he just typed, thanks everyone, like, exclamation mark. Like, that was it. And then someone went, you're so childish. Like, just take criticism like an adult. It's just like, wow. Okay. This is basically, do you know what I mean? Like, the guy just says, thanks. What more do you expect from him?
No, like, I mean, like,
he's being
like,
shut.
He is probably being a little bit like, what do you call it? He's being a little bit facetious, sarcastic, but it is. Like, I mean, dude, seriously, 3.6.
It's a random person, and it's a random person just going, "You're shit at what you do." But meanwhile, he's been doing it for, like, you know, almost a decade at this point, and it's like, is he really that bad? Like, if he was that bad, I feel like he wouldn't be here anymore.
Oh, I mean, just take his content out of League of Legends, and we'll see how people react.
Oh yeah.
I guarantee it'll be like a month. Oh, we have no good journalists.
I'm waiting for the next thread that's gonna happen going, Travis is so great, everyone's being mean to him, and then also again upvoted, gilded. I'm waiting for that one. That's definitely gonna arrive soon.
Like I said, dude, it's just like what are the sheep complaining about today?
Oh yeah. Off season,
we're making a joke about League of Legends, but it happens in Dota, it happens in
Smash. Oh yeah.
It happens in every esport, and it's like it's got larger to do with just the age of the people involved, but you'd still just, like, hope for, like, a little bit better.
I love the NBA.
It's like a little bit more, what would you call it, perspective?
Yeah. Or just, like, more, something more, like, not intellectual, but like something smarter. Like, the NBA offseason, I love the NBA offseason subreddit. Because, like, they'll do, like, stats, like, analytics around the most random things, like, how many shoes a player wore like during the season, or they did like, I think they did a thing about like what would happen if Harden grew his beard to like this amount of meters, and how would people defend him, like, you know what I mean, like really like in-depth like an analysis on like really dumb things. Like I love that kind of angle, as opposed to like, well, there's nothing to talk about, let's just get angry about like whoever we can, because why not.
Well, anyway, let's move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. Something a little bit, I wouldn't say, is it lighthearted the correct word?
I mean, it's positive.
It's positive, more, yeah. Yes. Positive, I think, is a little bit better one. And that's the boys of ATK. Boys of ATK, obviously, on LAN once again, first time in a little bit. And it's not just any LAN. It's the ESL Pro League Season 10 Finals, one of the biggest events in CSGO. And they knocked out North this morning in a best of three.
Yeah, best of three, 2-0, which was amazing. Look, I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I mean, I was super excited because obviously North, you know, a big team. But Prof, you were actually explaining to me there's a bit of, you know, context around the win. Yeah. Obviously, not to take away. I mean, it's a huge achievement, and you know, I mean, ATK have been putting up pretty great results. But yeah, I mean, there's context around, you know, this win specifically with North.
Yeah, I mean, North is a very, very big name in well, I wouldn't say, it's not a massive name. It's more like they're well-known.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Unfortunately, they're more well-known for being a meme in the last year than they have been for, like, great play.
Yeah.
Got a lot of big names on the team. If I put those names on paper, I think anybody in CSGO, maybe a couple of people outside CSGO would actually recognize the name and names. And certainly, you've got, you know, guys that have won majors on that team, won massive tournaments. But those names are very deceptive. North has not been a great team for the last probably 4 to 6 months. They just sold their best player, Valde, to OG. So, look, it's massive props to ATK. They don't get many opportunities on LAN. And certainly at a tournament this size, it's the first time they've been to a tournament this size. So huge props to them. I take nothing away from their win. It must also be put in the context of the fact that like North is not that great of a team. So the win is great, the opposition were not.
Yeah, and I mean, also, I think the point that they did a 2-0 also just goes, you know,
they dominated a bad team, which is what you want to see.
Exactly.
You know, like, you don't want them to struggle and, like, just sneak past. They slammed North, which is exactly, like, that's exactly what should be expected. That's a bad team, you panhandle them, you sent them home, right? That's exactly what ATK should be doing. So if they can continue to do that tomorrow, I think they play G2 tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Or it'll be G2, it'll be Thursday, so it'll actually be later this afternoon.
Yeah.
That you guys can watch them down, watch them play up against G2 in a best of three. And, like, G2's look very, very good.
So I was actually going to ask, what's the status with G2 at the moment?
G2 just took Astralis to three maps and really gave them quite a bit of stick. KDS is looking good, so ATK beats them, and you know, then you're cooking with gas. Then it's a team that all of a sudden gets a lot more props than they have for beating North at the moment. So fantastic to see the ATK boys doing well. Sonic and JT, congratulations to you two, especially as South Africans. It's great to see you guys doing well.
And an SA coach, eh? I mean, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Let's not forget. Absolutely. TC.
Yeah.
But like I said, great win, terrible opposition, but you beat them, and you beat them
the way you should have. Yeah,
you should have. You know. So
look, whilst we're on the topic of international CS:GO, Astralis apparently looking like on form again. I mean, it seems like they absolutely just dominating scene.
They're looking good again. I wouldn't say they dominate.
Okay,
let's put it that way. Yeah, it's. The problem with Astralis is that, like, everybody thinks that, like, oh, Astralis has won a game, therefore you're back to their best, which is like, no, like, they're good, but they're not at that, like, untouchable where they just, like, crush everybody 2-0. They obviously won ECS over the weekend, beating the fourth best, third best, and second best teams in the world on way to winning. They beat Fnatic in the groups, then they beat EG in the semifinals, and then they beat Liquid in the finals. But like against DG, it was a 2-1. Against Liquid, it was a 2-1. So it like they're not crushing the teams. They're doing very, very well. Take nothing away from that. They're doing very, very well to beat them. And it in a way it's convincing, but it's not like they don't look untouchable by any means. They do look like they're struggling at times. So it's not what everybody says, where, you know, you'll get like the all the fans saying like, oh, they're, it's like Prime Astralis. It definitely isn't.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, esports as well. It's kind of like if they win, I mean, they crushed them. Like, it's like it was, you know, the best team by far. And if they lose, it's like they're the worst, as opposed to that nuance that comes with, you know, competitive gaming.
Yeah, that is the thing. So Astralis obviously doing very well at ECS. Liquid and EG. Well, EG's got a mate, like, seem to have some real big problems at the moment, given the fact that, like, they either come first or they, like, go up very, very disappointingly. It's like, I mean, even though, like, they made semifinals at ECS, but, like, you look at you look at the teams they beat to get to the finals, you just like, but those are not good teams, mate.
Yeah.
So, like, something's clearly off with EG. I mean, they debuted fantastically well into the new brand, but very, very sink or swim.
And we spoke about that, you know, in a previous episode. We said, if you are EG and you're EG management, like, what do you do? Because obviously they do win tournaments when you know they're on form, but then again, like we said, they'll go out of groups sometimes, and it's like, what do you do to change that? Because, like, either you can make the change that goes terrible and, you know, you're getting knocked out of groups for the rest, you know, for the rest of the year or the rest of the season, or you can make the, you know, the good switch that actually puts you where you need to be in that consistency.
But the problem is, like, you have such a good team, like, who do you change?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who do you legitimately change and not screw up any potential chemistry or just you know, like, screw up the whole vibe of the team? Like, that's a major problem. Like, it's such a difficult solution. It's the same thing with Liquid. Like, Liquid looking, I wouldn't say back to their best, but, like, they were giving shades of their best.
Yeah.
Like, Liquid summer form. In the run up to the finals against Astralis, like, genuinely a terrifying team coming into that final, and they won the first map. It went to OT. Second map, they sort of got crushed towards the back end of it, and then the third map on Dust 2, they got, like, I mean, to say it was a blowout is a bit of an understatement. Like, they got, like, slammed off the server. Like, it was utterly a joke for Liquid to lose like that in a final. And it's like, again, how do you, like, who are you going to change? Those players are they're like, what, 4 months removed from one of the most dominant runs of all time.
Exactly.
And the issue as well, change anybody without you know, massively screwing up any potential chemistry. Like, it's such a huge problem.
And I think, like, a lot of people might argue, well, you know, give it time, give it patience, like, you know, let them get back to form. But I mean, the problem with esports is you don't really have the luxury of time. Right. I mean, for one thing, obviously, it's not the most financially sustainable, you know, space to be in. And especially when you look at, like, sort of CSGO, where the format isn't, you know, the leagues with, you know, franchising. Like, if you don't win tournaments, you're not making money.
Sure.
So they don't have the luxury of going, oh, let's just give them a year to kind of get together and, you know, rediscover form. They don't have that luxury. So for some people, they go, you know, oh, just give it time. They don't always have that luxury. And that's the big problem.
It's not even that. It's like, you know, you could give them time and they could never get back to their best. But if you give them time, they could get back to their best.
Yeah.
You could change a player and you could fix things. You could change a player and could utterly destroy that team to the point where they'd never be the same again. It's just like, it's gambling so much on these teams. And it's just like, unfortunately, that is the nature of esports. A lot of it is gambling just with the individual players as well. So it's, Liquid and EG are in a really, really tough spot right now. And, you know, to be honest, like, most of those problems are psychological, it seems. They can't get up for games, or they, you know, they fall apart in close games, and it's like, how do you solve those problems?
Yeah, I mean, to the point you're talking about the risk, like, you look at SK Gaming, right? You know, who were Luminosity before, you know, with Fallen, Cold Zero, that whole, you know, the whole guys.
MLBR now, yeah.
MLBR. But I'm saying when they were, like, SK, and, like, you know, they had a massively dominant run, and then they kind of fell off. Then they switched out their players, and none of them have ever, you know, gotten back to that level of form. And that is the risk. Like, he had a team that was absolutely dominating CSGO. I mean, it changed the game, like, impacted, you know, tactics in a large way. And they switched out one player, and it didn't work. They kept switching out, and everything kind of fell apart. And now,
I mean, now they're just basically a carousel. People get on and get off.
Absolutely.
And there's just no change in their luck at the end of the day. So, it's a real problem. And, I mean, it's a tough one in general, I think, in esports, just games as a whole, because you know, it's not like physical sports where you'll have a 10-15 year career.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you could have, like, a couple of bad years to start your NBA career or your NFL career or your football career, and you can turn it around over time. If you play well enough to just get a chance, you could have the great run where you do well.
Yeah.
In esports, you don't have that. You're bad for 1 year. You like teams won't pick you up, and that's it. You're done.
I mean, and that's what it kind of goes back to. Like the esports in general is such a volatile and such a like almost like ruthless sort of scene. So like when you're like a content creator that's been like so consistent over the years in a scene that like doesn't allow for that, and then people just go, "I hate your content. You suck." It's like it just like adds to just kind of the context around like esports, where like it's already such a rough industry to be in. Like your own audience is like just as rough as the scene itself.
I mean, like look at how the teams get attacked when they lose.
It's just
never ending, you know, spamming of Twitter and DMs and all sorts of nonsense. Where people just want like they just want to vent at you. It's just like, you know, it's like people like they vent at like, you know, let's say like they vent at LeBron or he's playing badly, and it's like you do realize that like the Twitter account you're venting to, LeBron probably doesn't even look at it, right? he's got like a couple of like PAs that sit on his Twitter account and deal with all that nonsense. They like never see that stuff. So like,
Kevin Durant will read your tweets though. Everyone knows that Kevin Durant with his burner accounts, he does read.
He might read your tweet, but I doubt he's gonna sit there and like reply.
I mean, he was the guy that got caught doing burner accounts though, like to defend himself. So he is the one exception to that rule, but yeah, no, I get your point.
There's no rule against it. I don't know why people get upset about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, again, there's things to be upset about, and then there's like, let's just be honest. Like, that's stupid.
100%.
But, I mean, other good news, we've got a couple, well, not even a couple, we've got a whole bunch of South Africans also participating this week in another CSGO event. That'll be taking place in, is it Delhi? I'm not 100%. I think it's Mumbai. Let me get the exact event, because I know it's in India. It is DreamHack, it's the DreamHack Delhi Invitational 2019. And the boys that got invited there is Goliath Gaming. Well played to you, gents. It's good to see another South African team, a bunch of new guys going over.
Yeah.
I think Adoro, no, none of these guys have played overseas except maybe Slowey. Yeah, Slowey played overseas, I think it was last year, but the others I don't think have been overseas as yet. So good to see them going over. It's obviously not the biggest of events, but I mean, you're going overseas.
Yeah, I mean, any international experience is good experience, right? I mean, I think that's always one of the big things we talk about, you know, in the ZA esports scene is like, you want to play outside of just the same pool of people. Yeah. And at Goliath, I mean, the organization as a whole has had a pretty great year. I mean, I think it's safe to say they've had a great year, especially, you know, CSGO as well. So it'd be cool to see, you know, see them actually get that international experience, you know, bring back what they've learned to the local scene as well. And, you know, hopefully make 2020 a pretty exciting year for local esports.
Yeah, and that event will start on the 6th. That's actually Friday, so it'll be tomorrow for you guys listening. No news as to exactly what times as yet. So I guess just keep an eye on the Goliath Gaming Twitter accounts, on the players' Twitter accounts, and you should be able to get some details over there. And Goliath team, Zip Zip, Massacre, Slowey, Adoro, and Mango, along with Coach Lighters. Best of luck to you guys. So if you guys can fly the flag high.
No, I'm excited. I mean, look, I think it's always a mixed bag when, you know, the local teams go overseas. But I think I have a lot of hope for Goliath to really, like, you know, what's it? Ride the flag, wave the flag high.
Yeah. Carry the flag, whatever it is.
I mean, it's the end of the year. We're all tired now. We're all ready to go on holiday. Like, I think it's, and it's been, I mean, we've been doing this for a while now. I mean, it's episode 70. So I think we've definitely put in a lot of work for this year. So I'm allowed to forget my idioms and expressions.
That is pretty fair. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, best of luck to Goliath. Hope you guys can, do some damage up there.
Yeah. And speaking of a long year, we felt like it would be good to have a kind of a recap around sort of ZA Esports for 2019. There's been a lot to talk about. I don't even know where we'd begin.
Well, I mean, I think if you just want to just take like the general scene, is that we've had, I think, a lot more events this year, 2019, than we had in 2018. Now, I mean, 2017 was obviously a wildly successful event, and especially in terms of CS:GO, they were really the coming out party in 2017 with all the big events. But 2018, massive drop off in just the number of events and the size of events. But 2019, we've actually, say it quietly, but we've had quite a few events.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of improvement from the TOs, especially VS Gaming. Pulled off some really massive events, particularly at Comic Con. Looked absolutely fantastic there.
Yeah,
and it might not be the headline grabbing huge tournament fee, prize winning fees, but it certainly is a hell of a lot more events that these teams have been able to go to. So, congratulations to those guys, because It really has shown that SA can we can put on the events, we just need to find the money.
Yeah, but I mean to that point as well. I mean, we saw sort of last year like a massive drop off in prize pool. As you were talking about, people kind of a lot of brands sort of pulling back and kind of going, what am I actually spending on? And I think, I'm pretty sure we spoke about it, during the course of the, the episodes of my podcast last year, where we kind of felt like, is esports, locally sort of needing, refreshing itself? I mean, like, look, personally, I still feel like that needs to happen. I think we definitely need to sort of hit a bit of a reset to a degree, not a hard one, but a soft one. But I think we've come back quite strong. I looked at, the events that have happened. You looked at Rush, you look again, Comic-Con. I think people have started to, sort of craft how to do events well. There's obviously always room for improvement, and we've mentioned those on the podcast as well, like numerous times. But I've got to say again, as much as we criticize and we do it because we passionate, and nothing grows if you just keep saying good things. But overall, when you look back at the year, like I think it's been it's been a great success. I think one of the things I would say we could have improved on would definitely be mobile gaming. I think TO has definitely started to sort of dip their toes in the scene of mobile, especially when you look at sort of Fortnite. Yeah. But again, obviously
towards the end of the competitive year, we definitely saw a lot of the bigger events are going to.
And then they had to wait for a bit of that, PUBG only came out recently, with mobile. So obviously they had to kind of wait for that, the mobile scene to sort of grow. But I'm really hoping for next year to see TOs kind of go, cool, mobile is an important part of, local esports. Let's give it the, the room and the space that it needs, and the attention that it requires to kind of really blow up. Cause I genuinely feel like that could be the saving, not the saving grace, but like a massively, underrated part of local esports.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, Rush is obviously, it used to be its own event. Next year, it's moving to the RAND show.
Yeah.
Now, while in some ways that is a pity, because I think if it had been able to sustain itself as its own event, it would have been a better indication for the health of esports.
Yeah.
But, I mean, moving it to the RAND show, there's a lot more traffic through there. It's going to, keep people or get new people interested in the event, people that might not have seen it before. And the RAND show is obviously well known for just basically being a business expo, which is definitely not a bad thing when it comes to esports. So, I think each event is each event's been different, and each event has had its struggles. But by and large, I think altogether they've done pretty damn well this year.
Yeah, and I mean, like, again, I think the point of is also to kind of spread the word. So, like, as much as RAND show, I've personally voiced my issues around sort of the gaming area with RAND show and sort of the people around there, and sort of the issues around EGE and the money around that side. Like, so I have my concerns around that. Like, I don't think that's particularly great. But having said that,
if you think about it, right, EGE was 2018. That was where all the nonsense came, right?
Mm.
Have we had any similar problems in 2019 as yet with TOs?
I mean, some of them haven't paid yet. I mean, I know there was a
whole... Actually, no, sorry. The EGE was early this year. It was February of 2019.
I think it came to light in December. I remember it came to light in December 2018.
It was the same people that ran the Cape Town 10s.
No, not
EGE. Cape Town 10s was beginning of this year.
Yeah, so no, that happened, yeah. But the guy that the EGE guy was the guy that's part of Rancho.
Yeah, wasn't he also part of Cape Town 10s?
I'm not
fairly
sure about that.
Certainly was.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm personally not sure about it. But my point is basically, I'm saying this, aside from all of those concerns, I think having gaming being part of something as big as Rancho is great for the scene as well, overall, because it puts it in front of new eyes.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I think with Rush, we've realized that, like, these events can't stand on their own. We just don't have the foot traffic yet to pull off an event where it's only gaming, it's only esports.
Yeah.
And Rush, like I said, it sucks that it's not its own event, but I'd rather have Rush continue than it just die out entirely.
Yeah, and I think that kind of leads on to another point again, like looking, you know, over the course of the year, is just planning events. Like, I think there's still this mindset that, you know, you have to defeat everyone else and you have to screw everyone over to kind of make sure your event is a success. And again, to the point, again, like Rush is showing, there it is an expensive, like hosting events and expos is really expensive. And clearly there's an issue around sort of the financial sustainability of it. So it kind of, you kind of want to see, like, what I want to see for next year, that like people just talk to each other around, you know, planning around events, planning around sort of, you know, what tournaments are you going to run? Which games are you going to invest in? And kind of create like sort of a unified front, you know, which is easier said than done.
Glenn, your mic's starting to artifact.
Okay. Must I start again with where did you lose me?
Just start that. Paragraph again.
Okay. So, I mean, like, again, I think one of the big things to talk about is, and I think something we want to talk about for the, you know, the course of the year is sort of planning events.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone had this mindset of you have to screw each other over. You know, if I win, then everyone else has to lose. And I think, again, Rush is showing that, you know, it's expensive to host events in gaming, and you want to see sort of a unified front for next year, where people can talk to each other, plan things around each other, and sort of create a sustainable scene as opposed to trying to win for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was Rush and Ekati Tech Fest this year, but who's to say it's not two different events next year? And that's, we don't want that kind of thing, because we're small enough that, like, we can't cannibalize what we already have. Like,
yeah,
that's the problem. Like, I do think that, like, TOs need to have better discussions with who's doing what when, and we can grow it all the time, because there's no reason that Rush and Ekati Tech Fest can't exist in the same in the same environment.
No, like, I mean, absolutely, I 100% agree. And I think sort of, you know, sort of building on that point, I think collaboration is one of the big things I kind of want to see for 2020.
Wants collaboration.
I mean, it's an ambitious thing, but I think not so much in the way that everyone sort of sees it, but I think everyone sort of respecting each other's roles. And obviously from this point, I'm talking, you know, as a journalist, you know, writing about gaming and writing about esports, you know, sometimes I say things people don't like, or I cover stories people don't want to talk about. And I feel like everyone just needs to sort of, you know, respect each other's roles. We often have those conversations around the roles of media, players, you know, within esports, like who is more important, and TOs. And I feel like if there was like a mutual respect that everyone had their roles to play, I think it would, you know, take the scene a long way in terms of, you know, being more sort of stable, having more infrastructure, and sort of, you know, just creating a better platform for the future.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a fair point. Obviously, I mean, if we talk about individual games, CSGO had a stellar year, tons of events for it. Fortnite's seen, a large amount of growth. PUBG, I mean, I think PUBG Mobile getting South African servers is really, really big news for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think PUBG Mobile has better grounds to succeed than PUBG does in South Africa, to be fair. You get a lot more people that are willing to play it, a lot more people that are capable of playing it as well. Because PUBG is not easy on computers. So, I mean, it's great to see those kind of games. If you look at Overwatch, we've had a team go overseas to the Overwatch World Cup. Didn't do very well, but I mean, that's hardly their fault when Blizzard makes it actively impossible to do well as a tiny little team going over. I mean, other news, again, we've got the two South African CSGO teams going over this year. I think Dota this year has really struggled.
Yeah, 100%, absolutely.
Its year was obviously, I'd say probably 2016 was really where they did most of their heavy work, and it just continuously dropped off. This year we've had the numerous issues. Obviously we've had multiple racist incidents with top level players being outed for saying some rather heinous things, and it's been disappointing because, you know, Dota has already been struggling the last couple of years, and now this year it's basically just shot itself in the foot repeatedly.
Yeah, and so, I mean, when we mentioned that, I mean, we did say, I mean, you know, obviously we saw a lot of sort of fake accounts being created, trying to, you know, call out other players, and we were kind of saying, and we said it again on the podcast, like, yeah, obviously you're going to fight racism, but I mean, if you're going to use this as a tool to, you know, destroy the competition, it just destroys the whole scene, and that's what we've sort of seen this year with Dota specifically. But I think from that point, I want to see some of the smaller games get more recognition. You look at sort of Street Fighter and sort of what Red Bull did this year, especially bringing Gachi-kun, if I remember his name correctly, you know, the number one player in Street Fighter V in the world. Bringing him here to Joburg was incredible, and I think Cape Town as well.
Yeah.
I want to see some of the smaller scenes getting sort of, you know, more coverage. You look at sort of Rocket League as well, thriving community. I mean, when I was asking questions in the scene, a ton of people were willing to answer, point me in the right direction, really just get involved. So I'm really hoping for next year, and I mean, obviously we play a role in that as well, is to see some of the smaller scenes and smaller games get a little bit more recognition and attention that they deserve.
I mean, again, it's just, you know, the problem in South Africa is just scale. Like, we've only got so much money to spend, and at the end of the day, the smaller games are going to be the ones that you know, somehow get shortchanged, because you want the most bang for your buck, and the most bang for your buck in South Africa right now is, unfortunately, things like CS:GO. I think with Dota continuously dropping off, I mean, I don't know what it looks like at the moment. It certainly hasn't looked good over the last, say, 12 months. But yeah. If it does continue to drop off, it is very likely that it will be replaced by something more popular at this point. And that could be that it gets split up between three games and three much smaller games, because you're talking about other scenes that are growing. You look at the local sim racing community. They've got something like three, four leagues running at any one point in time. You never hear about them, but if you go in there, there's like 20, 30 guys that are, you know, just sitting there crushing the, you know, throwing out laps and all the rest. So it's, I think 2020 needs to be the year of the smaller esports.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think that's exactly what is really what we'd like to see. The small esports, you know, we're not talking about them getting all of the press, but just getting a little bit more press than they have gotten this year.
Yeah, and I think my challenge to them as well would be, like, share the news, right? Like, yeah. I mean, share the, you know, create not even a press release, just tweet, you know, publications saying, hey, this, you know, event is happening here, or, you know, give out some, like, invites to journalists or, you know, writers to kind of get involved and, you know, check it out for themselves, or, you know, link to streams. I mean, I think it's something you speak about quite often, and that even some of the bigger, you know, scenes in terms of, you know, CS:GO, you know, Dota, you know, back when it was bigger, but people don't really advertise the streams as well as they should. I think it's one of the big criticisms we have, but I think especially if you're a smaller scene, I mean, that's the way to grow your scene. So I think my challenge to the smaller teams would be, like, speak up, like, go find the people that can cover these events. And I mean, I'm speaking for myself as well, like, speak to me. Like, I'm absolutely keen to hear about, you know, the smaller scenes. But I mean, if I have to, like, kind of find it and search for it, again, we don't always have that time. I mean, in game, we can't do this full time. So I don't have the luxury of just sitting, scrolling through Twitter and Facebook and different communities and finding when these events are. Like, speak up and, you know, make your scene heard, because I think, you know, 2020 would be the year for that. And I think brands are hungry as well. I think brands are really keen to kind of reinvest in gaming and esports. And I think they see the numbers overseas. They see there's, you know, the potential here. And obviously a few of them have been burnt in the past, but I think there is hunger there with brands. And I mean, I've had those conversations with them. They want to get involved, but they want to know, you know, who do they speak to? What games should they get involved in? You know, what is the community like? So for 2020, like, speak up, because I think there's a lot of potential locally.
I mean, if you want to follow on with just like a new potential, just look at how many youngsters we've had joining the scene this year. Just in CS:GO, we've had, you know, a whole bunch of youngsters joining. We've got, obviously, Mango. He did really, really well this year. He's going overseas now with the Goliath team. In, what is it? I think it's Fortnite. You have, what's that young lad from Bravado?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I cannot for the life of me.
I can't think of his name right now. I do apologize. But I mean, that that young man's obviously, you know, made a name for himself. We've got the young guys that went over for FIFA.
Yeah.
So, you know, like 2019 really has been, you know, the year of the newbie in many respects. And I think 2020 needs to just be a continuation of that, because you don't want the same teams or the same players, you know, beating it out year after year after year.
Yeah.
Like, we need we need fresh blood. We need a bit of change. You know, I'm not advocating for wholesale change, but you need fresh blood just to reinvigorate the scene as a whole.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, 100%. I think just before people go, oh, you guys have been so critical over the course of the year on the scene, I think we also have to talk about like the bad side of things, right? Like, I think overall it's been a great year. But I think for me, one of the big things is we need to learn from the mistakes, right? I think we have to learn about sort of the tunnel vision that we have in the scene. I think also sort of the clicky nature. And I'll be the first to admit, like, you know, I absolutely do play, you know, a role in those things as well. I'm not perfect. And I don't think we are here, you know, on the podcast team. But I think we also have to admit that we've also made some, you know, and I'm going to say some fuck ups. And we need to kind of own those, be honest about them. Because I mean, one of my biggest things, and I think it's going to be a huge thing for me again for next year, is criticism does not mean you hate the scene. Criticism does not mean it's a personal attack on, you know, whoever. I think people need to be able to kind of just take it on the chin, and know that it, you know, and take give the benefit of the doubt that it comes from a good place. And I think there's a lot that we need to, you know, fix in the scene. I think the diversity still needs some growth, some room to improve. I think we, you know, we're doing well.
Let's be honest. I've been the biggest champion for diversity, but at the end of the day, there are massive social economic issues that need to be solved before.
No, sure.
We can just, you know, say, oh, like, diversity can be fixed in gaming. It's like, no.
Yeah, no.
They are many, many years ahead of us getting to the point where it needs to be improved. Certainly, I do not deny that at all. But
yeah,
I think that looking at gaming as a way to improve that is like, I think it's just too ambitious in my opinion.
But I mean, I think Ikasi
is a fantastic idea, but remember also, like, Ikasi's numbers have not looked great just because people don't understand it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's why I'm saying PUBG, the fact that PUBG came as a mobile game, the fact that Fortnite came as a mobile game, that is fantastic. The fact that we've had the console games this year doing, you know, a lot better. Those are also fantastic because those are easier methods of you know, getting through to the youngsters in the townships and getting through to the people that might not be able to afford a, you know, a 10,000 rand computer type thing.
Yeah.
Because that is unfortunately the problem with PC gaming is that PC gaming is outrageously expensive. The barrier to entry is enormous.
Yeah.
Whereas mobile, I mean, let's make the meme because that's what Blizzard did.
Oh, yes.
Everybody's got a phone. Now, it might not be a phone capable of playing PUBG, but I guarantee you I'll find more people with phones capable of playing PUBG than PCs playing PUBG.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, to your point, I'm like, I'm definitely not saying we need to, you know, solve the issue around it, but I do think there are steps we can take already to kind of, you know, be more upfront about it and kind of, you know, try to tackle it a bit. I'm absolutely not saying, you know, I'm not saying we absolutely can solve it overnight or even in a year or two, you know, through gaming. There are definitely bigger issues. But yeah, I just think that there are definitely things we can improve in the scene. And I really hope for next year that people kind of just, you know, take it on the chin and just go, cool, let's do it together. As opposed to kind of how it sort of felt this year, where it kind of becomes very combative and it's, you know, everyone sort of takes those criticisms personally.
Yeah, that I think is a perfectly fair point. That, like, there needs to be less fighting next year and more like working together than this year has been, because this year has very often felt like it's this community fighting that community and this community killing itself by taking, you know, like players inside and teams inside just like fighting each other to the death over at the end of the day fairly stupid things.
And the thing is, at the end of the day also, if one person wins, we all win, right? I mean, like, that's kind of the point of the scene, is like we're so small, we can't be in our own silos. Like, one thing affects everyone else. And I think that's also why we're very harsh on people that sort of, you know, run afoul with things like, you know, the racist issues we had in Dota, you know, the infighting and those kind of things, because actually it affects everyone. It's not this isolated incident that only sort of hurts, you know, one scene specifically. I mean, obviously for Dota, it's hurt Dota a lot and, you know, everyone else has kind of done well. But I think overall, brands will look at it as the entire scene and not, you know, this one specific thing. So I think, yeah, hopefully more unity for next year. And I mean, I want to play my part in that as well. Because I mean, I think, yeah, we have been quite divisive at times. So positivity for next year. I mean, I'll have to quit Twitter, I think, if I want to be more positive next year.
I think half of us say half the world needs to quit Twitter.
I really feel like we need to reset. Yeah, we need to reset Twitter entirely, actually, I think, because that...
You know, like they always say, like, you can't get, like, a person's tone through text, but, like, there are certain people that definitely try very hard to do that.
Oh, man. I feel like Twitter, you can definitely tell when people are, like, just hateful. I feel like that's the one thing Twitter does really well, is you can... you know, I feel like humanity has learned how to be hateful in like very short amount of characters. So thank you, Twitter, for that. That is very impressive.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else we have to talk to. Yeah, there's not much going on at the moment.
There is not. It is the end of the year. I think we're all ready to take a break. Yes. I don't know when we're taking a break with the podcast.
It might be that next week is the last week of the year. We just need to find our young man, Camille. He's out in the wilderness at the moment. And once we catch that Pokemon, we'll be able to tell you whether we have completed this year's tasks as a whole. But I think for the moment, guys, I'd just like to thank everybody for 2019. And we've obviously had issues with a whole bunch of people. They've had issues with us, but at the end of the day, it's been a dialogue, and I think a lot of the dialogues needed to happen for better and for worse.
Well said. I mean, yeah, I think from my side as well, I think it's been an interesting year, especially for locally, local esports. I've had a ton of fun for this year. There's been fights, there's been, you know, butting of heads, but I think overall, I think we all know we're all trying to do the same thing. So I hope, you know, we all are refreshed and take a moment to kind of recover for the year and hit 2020 hard, and for the better.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, 2020 hindsight is perfect. So let's make 2020 perfect in terms of esports in South Africa.
That was beautiful. I'm actually tearing up a bit at that prof.
Terrible. Anyway, guys, thanks very, very much for listening, and best of luck for the holidays if you don't catch next week. Best of luck for the new year, and thanks. That's all I really have to say. Thanks at the end of the day for watching. Thanks for being part of 2019 with us, and good luck for the remainder of 2019 and for the year ahead.
Do the outro. Do it with emotion and heart.
How do I do it with emotion? Well, I mean, guys, you can catch the rest of us on Twitter. You can catch Camille at K Chikte. Glenn is obviously at @G_KAYY. St. Gutter Lily, she hasn't been with us in a couple of months. She's been busy, but she will be back sometime in the future. That's at St. Gutter Lily. You can catch myself at Prophecy Gaming, PROFECI. And you can catch ESC on Facebook at Esports Central ZA, on Twitter at Esports Central with no A in the central. And on the web at esportscentral.co.za. Thank you very much, ladies and gents. And enjoy. Bye.
Cheerio. Goodbye.